This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Good morning, Ashley. Buongiorno to you. Thank you so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again from Roma.
Well, hello to you, John, and so glad you could join me via the Relevant Radio airwaves right here in Rome.
It is always a joy to be with you every Wednesday. Let's begin, as we always do, talking about the Holy Father and his Wednesday audience. What was the main message of Pope Francis this morning?
Absolutely. Well, today, Pope Francis went back to the theme that he's been talking about for the last few weeks, the value and meaning of old age, although this was the last installment in his series on that topic. Now, John, the audience was held today inside of the Paul VI audience hall, and that's typical for August because it's hot over here.
How hot is it?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you, actually, we have been having such heat waves here that now we're getting a bit of reprieve. Yesterday, it was just in the mid-90s, and it suddenly felt like this wonderful vacation because it was no longer in the hundreds. And we even for the first time in a long time got some rain yesterday, and it cooled things off a bit. So we're most grateful because we are in a drought right now. So we'll take any kind of water we can get. So very, very grateful for that. And so as those folks who were able to take shelter from the sun today inside the audience hall heard, the Holy Father spoke about Jesus' words of farewell to his disciples at the Last Supper. He was looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. And the Pope noted that many people will pass through the frailty and the challenges of old age, but to also remember that it can be a time of exciting blessings. And he said that is because old age itself is a blessing that God bestows, since it teaches that life is destined to go beyond the passage of death into eternal life. And he noted that old age helps one understand the meaning of time and the limitations that all face when coming near to the end of life. But just as Jesus spoke of heaven using parables of feasting, he said that it's something for all of us to look forward to. And he reminded everyone that one stable place and destination is not on earth, but it is beside the Lord, where the Lord dwells forever. And Pope Francis pointed out that a temptation can be, especially for the elderly, to move toward bitterness. And this can arise in later years as the years pass, and often when people reflect on missed opportunities in their lives. He said, but he encourages all to fight that temptation because the elderly have the privilege to bear witness to their hope and to their faith in Christ to those around them. And that old age, he quoted, renders Jesus' promise transparent. Finally, he said today that old age is the phase in life that's most suited to spreading the joyful news that life is the initiation to a final fulfillment. And he finished off reminding all present that the best is yet to come, John.
Well, obviously, this is a topic that is very dear to the Holy Father's heart because he's been talking about this for months, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And so it's near to his heart and, of course, something that we all understand that he can certainly relate to personally, as he has been having struggles of tied to his age that he's been living out in a very public way, as we've seen him even in his last papal trip, moving from walker to cane to wheelchair, etc. So, I think this is a very personal message that he's sharing with us. And at the end of the audience today, John, the Pope also prayed for all of the victims and families in the fire in Cuba that has killed at least one person that we know of now. Of course, another 14 people are missing, but he expressed his closeness to those affected by the tragedy and the explosions at that oil base in Cuba, especially asking Mary Queen of Heaven to watch over the victims and their families, John.
Well, the Holy Father, being from the Americas, always seems to notice anything that's going on in the Americas. And obviously, praying for the victims of that fire in Cuba is important to him. You know, back to the Holy Father's limitations physically that we've seen here in recent months. Despite that, there's still some hints that the Holy Father may actually visit Ukraine after all, something that's been speculated for a while.
Yes, yes, it's very interesting. We've seen little hints kind of poking up these last few months, like when Archbishop Paul Gallagher, who's the Vatican Secretary for Relations with the States, said that it was on the docket. And Pope Francis has repeatedly stated his desire to visit Kyiv. He said several times that a trip there is very much on the table, also saying that it would be quite complicated and the Vatican has to wait for the right moment. But of course, on this flight back to Rome from Canada, at the end of the trip, the Pope told reporters that he would still like to go to Ukraine, but it all depends on the condition of his leg and how he's feeling. Although in the last few days, we have gotten some more hints, John, that it may be coming soon, because Ukraine's ambassador to the Holy See has just hinted in a tweet that it could be coming even in mid-September before the Pope's visit to Kazakhstan. So a few days ago, Pope Francis met with the Ukrainian ambassador to the Holy See. His name is Andriy Yurash. They had a private conversation. And after that, the ambassador sent out a tweet saying that the Pope expressed his closeness to Ukraine and that they're hoping that he will be able to visit in September. Now, the Pope has also said that if he goes to Ukraine, he wants to visit Russia first. Although, after this last tweet came out from the Ukrainian ambassador, a presidential spokesperson in Russia said that at this point, there are no plans underway for a papal visit. So, if Pope Francis cannot visit Russia, it's thought that when he goes to Kazakhstan for the upcoming interfaith conference, he will have a conversation with Russian Orthodox Patriarch Kirill. And Patriarch Kirill is also quite known for his vocal support. Besides being the patriarch, he's made a lot of news, I could say, for his vocal support of the war in Ukraine and his closeness to Russian President Putin. So some say that this conversation with Kirill could be the Pope's next best option if he cannot get to Russia, but he does want to visit Ukraine, because this could, from a political perspective, this would seen as a move not to alienate the Russians or give the impression that the Pope is taking sides, because of course the Vatican has a long practiced diplomatic strategy of neutrality. So we will certainly keep our eyes on this story, John, and see what happens with the Pope's travel schedule coming up soon.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, we turn to food, which is so big in Italy. I understand that there are pizza wars going on, raging in Italy.
Oh, John, you are so right. Well, you know, John, Domino's Pizza has had success in 85 nations, right? So why not try Italy? Except 7 years after making its debut in Milan, Domino's Pizza is now saying arrivederci to Italy. So back in 2015, Domino's opened in Milan, and then in Bologna and Parma and Turin, and even right here in Rome, they had a plan to open 880 stores and to win 2% of the market share of pizza by 2030. Well, Domino's never got there. In fact, the pizza giant just closed the last of its 29 stores in Italy. They just couldn't get a foothold in the country. The locals were proving difficult to win over to American-style pizza. Now, they did offer what they called purely Italian ingredients, including 100% tomato sauce, mozzarella. They used products like prosciutto di Parma and gorgonzola and grano padano cheese, mozzarella di bufala, campana, all these things. But Domino's says that when local pizzerias got into delivery during lockdowns, the competition went up and they have to come out now. So the company's exit from Italy, I have to say, from Italians was met with some cheers on Twitter. Some people said that Domino's should never have even tried to establish a foothold in the homeland of pizza, but one Italian tweeted, "Take your atrocious imitation pizza with you because we don't need it because we invented it." But John, with all that said, you could say that the local pizza makers may have won this round, but now they are starting round two because we're now seeing another pizza war, but this time amongst the Italian pizza makers themselves. So, John, there's an Italian billionaire. His name is Flavio Briatore, and he has just taken aim at some pizza chefs in Napoli, in Naples. To give you a little bit of background here, pizza making in Naples is serious business. In fact, pizza actually has a UNESCO World Heritage status.
Wow.
So, yes. So this billionaire, Briatore, he opened pizza restaurants. They're called Crazy Pizza in London, Monte Carlo, and some other cities. And at his restaurants, a Spanish pata negra ham top pizza sells for 65 euro. And if you want one with black truffle shavings, you're going to pay 50 euro. So in defense of these high prices, Briatore wrote on Instagram about Neapolitan pizzas. And he says, "What? Pizza at 4 euro? What do these people put in pizzas?" He said, "These are just bricks of dough with a puddle of tomato." Okay, so you can imagine, John, these were fighting words. And the president of the Neapolitan Pizza Maker Association, he hit back and he accused Briatore of betraying pizza's humble heritage, saying pizza has been generations overcoming war and cholera. So, in fact, a famous pizza chef even served free pizza in front of his restaurants in response to what Briatore had said. So how is this pizza war going to end? Well, a famous pizza chef has offered a truce. He's calling it a healthy challenge, suggesting that for one evening, Briatore's cooks should prepare their pizzas side by side with Neapolitan chefs to let Briatore's clients taste a real typical Neapolitan pizza and let them decide for themselves. So we shall see how this all comes to an end, John.
Where else are you going to hear this inside stuff about pizzas? I think I'll take mine pizza margarita and I'll do the cheap one for about 4 euros.
There you go. I'll be enjoying it with you. Sounds great.
All right. And today people can eat their pizza and celebrate the feast of St. Lawrence, the deacon and martyr. How is St. Lawrence being celebrated in Roma?
Yes. Well, you know, John, actually, there are various places where people can go to venerate different holy things that are associated with St. Lawrence. So, for example, the gridiron on which he was martyred is in the Church of St. Lawrence outside the walls. His garments are in Our Lady's Chapel at the Lateran Palace, and his head is actually enshrined at the Quirinale Chapel of the Vatican Apostolic Library. But he, of course, who was grilled to death on a gridiron, on an outdoor grill, tradition says that the ashes of his body were dispersed by the wind and even appear in different places around the world on his feast day. And one of the ways that you can celebrate St. Lawrence today, especially in this area, is that when you look up to the night sky here in Italy, stargazers get the great treat of the Perseids meteor shower. And this is a meteor shower that's associated with the comet Swift-Tuttle, and it drops dust and debris in the Earth's orbit on its 133-year trip around the sun. And as the Earth orbits the sun, it hits pieces of this left-behind debris of the comet, and it causes them to burn up in the Earth's atmosphere. It creates a prolific meteor shower, and it just so happens that it can be seen in the northern hemisphere from late July to early August, and it peaks around August 10th. Today, the Feast of St. Lawrence. So right here, as this meteor shower begins, People actually call it the tears of St. Lawrence, because the metaphor is that the fiery bits of debris seen during the meteor shower are representative of the coals that killed St. Lawrence, and the falling fire then represents his burning tears. So during the peak, the rate of the meteor reaches 60 or more per hour. It is quite a sight to see. And this evening, actually, there's some rain predicted, but we're hoping that the clouds will pass so that tonight and for the next few days, we can see what looks like falling tears of St. Lawrence coming down from the heavens, John.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.